Today we're paying tribute to the original King Kong, the character of Carl Denham, the adventurer, filmmaker, and promoter who brings Kong to New York, bears some resemblance to the creator of the film. C. Marion Cooper was an adventurer and documentary filmmaker who traveled through Africa and made documentaries in Persia, which is now Iran, and Siam, which is now Thailand. That work led him to the mythical idea of King Kong. Cooper is a fascinating behind-the-scenes Hollywood figure. He was also the production head of RKO, helped team Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, produced several now classic John Ford westerns, including The Searchers and She Wore a Yellow Ribbon, and was instrumental in the development of Cinerama. Cooper's story is told in a biography called Living Dangerously. I spoke with the author, Mark Cotta-Vaz, earlier this year. Would you describe the original idea for King Kong that Cooper had?
Well, the original idea for King Kong sort of evolved. The original idea was, it was almost like if you could imagine two movie explorers getting to, or movie expedition guys sitting around and telling the ultimate tall tale. That's kind of how King Kong began. Cooper was in New York in the late 1920s and early 30s pursuing interests in commercial aviation. So that was his, he had sort of left Hollywood, but he seemed entranced with telling this story about this gorilla, and he had this friend of his, W. Douglas Burden, and Burden had made this great expedition to the Komodo Island, where the famous dragons of Komodo, so-called, exist, these huge primordial-looking creatures. And Cooper always had this fantasy that of doing a movie where he would film a live gorilla seemingly in conflict with a live Komodo dragon. But so they wanted to do this dramatic, you know, Lost World idea of a lost island and these creatures battling each other. But as the idea evolved, it became much more romantic, and he started realizing, I'm not going to be able to do this with live animals.
So he decided against using like the real animals and ended up going with stop motion animation. He knew he didn't want a guy in an ape suit. Why was he so sure that that would be the wrong thing?
Well, because a guy in an ape suit looks phony. You can tell it's a guy in an ape suit, and that's the way it was done. And Cooper was always this bombastic showman, bigger and better. He wanted to bring the world through his moving pictures spectacle. And he wanted to say, how can I make this dream, this what he would call of his giant terror gorilla, how can I make something so romantic, so fantastic, so nightmarish come true? And it turned out that stop-motion animation was the best way to do that.
Now, the Empire State Building nearly didn't make it into King Kong. Why not?
Yeah, the thing about King Kong is that it was... Now, Cooper claimed he never saw the movie The Lost World, but for those that remember the Sir Arthur Conan Doyle story and the movies that were made that were inspired by that book... there is this whole scenario of a beast from a lost world being brought to civilization. In the case of the Lost World movie, it's London. So there was actually this threat of a legal action, you know, because the idea is if you bring King Kong to New York, well, that's very similar to the whole scenario of the Lost World, prehistoric beast coming to civilization. So at one point, they weren't going to use the scene. But what happened is they ended up essentially buying the rights to The Lost World. Cooper always claimed The Lost World had nothing to do with King Kong, but for whatever reason, the legal guys basically squared it all away, because if they hadn't, King Kong would have ended on Skull Island, where it began.
Cooper fought in World War I. He fought again in World War II and then became a staunch anti-communist. He supported Joe McCarthy. How did that affect the movies he made after the war?
Yeah, the whole... He was a virulent anti-communist, and he really had this... going back to being in these Moscow prison camps, he had been shot down when he was helping the Poles fight the invading Bolsheviks, and he had been captured, and he endured, like, the hell of the prison camps, and he had this great escape, and... So he always claimed that he knew firsthand and experienced the early communist brainwashing capability and psychological warfare. And he always took the communists at their word, that they were bent on world domination. And Cooper felt to counter that, he had to do a new type of American propaganda. So he had formed a company before the war that was reactivated after the war with John Ford, the great director, called Argosy Pictures. And they, all the John Wayne movies they did, the cavalry pictures that Cooper is doesn't get credit. You know, John Ford directed them, but Cooper produced those. It's like the cavalry trilogy. And
so, that's the Fort Apache, She Wore a Yellow Ribbon.
All those movies were meant to sort of like lift up the idea of the American military corps and to kind of, you know, be an inspirational message. But his crowning thing was Cinerama. He got involved with Lowell Thomas in doing that great, you know, movie This Is Cinerama, and pioneering the whole this whole new medium of the big screen, which ended up opening up all the big screens in America and in the world. We forget that the old movie screens used to be more like little box-shaped. The screens went wide after Cinerama, you know. But there's this great America the Beautiful scene in Cinerama where there's a plane with a Cinerama camera that flew across the country taking pictures of this great land. And, you know, it's done to the music of the Star-Spangled Banner, America the Beautiful, rather. And Cooper just meant that as his love poem to America, and he just wanted to extol the virtues of this country.
Marcotta Vaz is the author of Living Dangerously, The Adventures of Marion C. Cooper. Our interview was recorded over the summer. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.